Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. Today with us, we have Rebecca from Ontario, Canada, with her cat. If you're able to see any of this on video later, Rebecca, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is so cool. I've never done this before.
You know, I hadn't either until I thought this would be a fun pastime and then realized that it takes up a lot of time. But it has been so eye-opening for me, and I can't stop now because I just keep learning more and more. And I'm so thankful for all of you that have come into my life with this valuable information. So why don't we start out by telling us, how many kids do you have and what are their ages?
So I have two boys, and they're four, and I thought there was three, but four and seven. Yeah, so we are in our third year of schooling, I guess, technically. I mean, we didn't really do kindergarten. So Grayson, my oldest, he is in technically, I guess, grade one would be his group that he's in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of like a kindergarten. And do you guys have to report kindergarten in Canada?
Funny story. I actually signed Grayson up originally for school, and that was during the time of COVID and all the masks and everything. And then we decided to pull him. He never actually went, but we pulled him mostly because we didn't want him to wear a mask. That was our biggest thing. We didn't want our kindergarten kid to have to sit in a classroom with all his buddies to wear a mask and have to be in pods. And that was just no. So I actually had a phone conversation with the principal. Because on their website, it says you don't have to wear a mask or whatever. But in fact, his class and all of his school had 100% rate of wearing masks. So everybody in his whole school wore a mask, which led to some really interesting conversations with this principal. And he, we wanted to do part-time schooling. Maybe that was kind of our option. We was like, okay, well, if we can't, we don't want him in a mask, but maybe he needs to do part-time. Because at that time, we were really struggling with him being at home. He was a lot. We just couldn't figure out how to teach him. I don't know if you've ever experienced that at all.
Why, yes, I do. I have my own four-year-old.
Yes.
And he is very hard to keep contained.
Yeah, and I think at that point, we were both super new to the whole thing, right? We just had no idea what we're doing. But anyways, this principal, he suggested that because it was my first kid, that I was just having troubles letting my kid leave the home to go to school.
It's your fault.
And so then after that, I said no. And then during that conversation, he's like, well, you need to update us with a letter saying that your kid is going to be homeschooled, each year. Now, I've only sent a letter once, but it was basically, my kid will never be in school. So, we don't have to submit anything, but that was the only little thing he had asked for.
Now, even with a first grader, you don't have to submit anything quarterly or nothing. Canada just lets, or is it just Ontario, just lets homeschooling parents take free range. We'll see it at 18 when you try to get into university.
Yeah, so right now they don't ask anything of you. I don't know if that changes during high school. I'm sure you have to probably take the tests, but quite honestly, I'm not sure that my kids will go to high school. Obviously, it's going to be their choice, I think. At that point, maybe the conversation is, do you want to go to the high school, or do you want to do high school online, or do you want me to keep teaching the way we're doing it now? But yeah, I haven't looked that far ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of at the point where I feel like the world might look so different in 5-10 years anyway. So it's like, why worry about things that might be irrelevant? You know, at that point, it might be like, well, nobody really sends their kid to school anymore. Or, you know, it's just things are so different, whatever they're going to pull with climate change or whatnot, future lockdowns. So
yeah,
there's no need to give yourself anxiety over things that far out.
No. And I think too, like at that point, there's going to be so many more families that it's just not, there's going to be like a homeschooling like pod in, you know, instead of high school, it's going to be different, right? Because it's just not working anymore. It's not working.
I agree.
I have a big problem with things that they're teaching in the public schools now here. I mean, I'm not religious by any means, but I mean, there's a point where sending your kid to school during June, and then there's all these like flags, and you're trying to get all your kids, your kindergarten kids, to partake in this, but they don't even know what it is. You know, they don't know what Pride Month.
Right.
They don't understand. It's, I don't know. It's like, that's a whole can of worms, I think.
So that's going on in Canada as well as the States?
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, our best friend is gay. He got ordained to marry us. Like, we joked the whole time, like, oh, you always wanted to marry my husband. Now you are. Like, you're marrying us.
Yeah.
And even he is like, no, there is an agenda behind this. This is, he's like, that ain't for me. And when you, like, really think about it, and, like, a lot of things going on don't make sense logically. Like, why would children be involved in a way two people like to have intercourse? I mean, that's just weird. Like, just the bare bones of it, you know? I mean, we don't, there's just so many different couples out there, whether there's like an interracial couple, say. We don't have a month where we celebrate with children interracial couples. Well, why not? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if we're celebrating all different kinds of couples, there's lots of different kinds of couples. So this is deeper. This is like two people having an intimacy with each other, and we want kids to understand it and celebrate it. That's bizarre. That's beyond bizarre.
Well, I see so many videos now, like on my YouTube, it pops up with all these schools in the States, and I'm sure it's bad here. I don't know, but like they have like blown up rainbows, have kids all in like flags and stuff. And like all the, like there was a transgender teacher and they were just like so into it. And I mean, I have nothing against like gay people. I have nothing against it. Like, do that. That's fine. But don't push it on my kids. Like, it's like, there's a point where you just don't push it on them, because they're so impressionable at that young age and they don't understand. And they're going through all these different changes, personality, like body, like whatever. They're just finding out who they are. And this is like the most impressionable time. And we're sending kids to schools that are pushing these things on kids, which is now leading to a higher suicide rate and probably mental, like just a whole bunch of things that are just going to hurt us in the long run as a society.
Yeah, I agree. And especially because they pull it on parents as, well, would you rather have, like, your kid will commit suicide if you don't give them the puberty blockers. And if you look at statistics on people who have taken them and then later in life change their mind that no, that was just a phase of their life, and now they're more depressed. You know, it's, it just, you can't not see that this is an agenda when you look at the big picture. It's in a dark agenda with something sinister behind it, because there's just no reason that kids need this exposure this young. Like you said, they're so impressionable, and we're taking out things that they really need to know, like how to forage for food, how to find heat, water, how electricity works, how to find shelter, how to garden, how to hunt. We're taking out all those survival things and putting this stuff in it. And it's like, if you just take a step back, it's like, whoa, who's behind this?
This is too much. Yeah. And I think too, like, even like you said, like all the subjects that they teach, nothing that I learned in school really helped me in my life. Like, really, like, I mean, I learned how to be a person, I suppose, and like interact with other people, but I didn't learn, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't learn to learn the science.
I didn't know current events or much about the wars, why the wars were fought. And I think that's the biggest thing. We learn dates and names.
Yeah.
We don't learn why the wars were fought, which, you know, plug in for the Tuttle twins because I am an affiliate. But like when I read those books to my son, I'm like, wow, we didn't learn this in school. And I don't think even if it wasn't a textbook, it would have been so dry. It wouldn't have made sense to me anyway. Like reading it in that, I'm like, whoa, all right, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's just so much that isn't taught.
No, and also we don't know, like, the textbooks, like, who wrote the textbooks, too, like, that you read in school. So that's a whole other rabbit hole of information.
Exactly.
May or may not be true. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just a whole.
So let me ask you this. Did you work before you decided to homeschool? Did you have to give up a career?
So I owned a yoga studio, for 2 years. So that was really cool. So I did that when my son was, he was just born, and then up until he was two. And then at that point I just stopped working and I haven't worked since. So what is that? 5 years, around 5 years I've been just at home. And our original plan was to homeschool. I mean, my husband, he always had wanted to try homeschooling. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, whatever, like maybe. And because I, you know, at that point, I never really, like, I was part of the system, right? Like, I was part of this, like, machine.
You're in the matrix.
Yeah. And I didn't really open my eyes until I had kids. And you start digging. Like, I'm not sure about you, but I research everything. So, you know, like you start having kids and then you start looking into things and then you're like, oh, this is just not good. And so then COVID hit and we're like, well, this is just like perfect because no one's going to ask us why we're not putting our kid in school. They just can't go to school. And then obviously we just kept them out and they won't go to school from now on. But yeah, no, I don't work.
Yeah. I had a very similar experience, except instead of yoga, I'm a Zumba instructor, but I also work for the government. So I had like 15 years of you're gonna retire at 55 and have a good pension. And I did kind of climb the ladder. I don't know. I did okay on exams because you learn how they want you to answer on an exam. So I was okay at doing that. And, you know, I showed up and sat there for my 8 hours and that's like pretty much all, you know, you're required to do in a lot of places. The work is trainable for anybody to do and there is just a lot of downtime. So I had always just kind of felt like, oh my God, I'm wasting my life away to get to 55. And then what am I going to do then? You know, so the Zumba, teaching Zumba is kind of like that fun thing. Cause I always danced growing up. I'm at the brink where it's like, I researched like you and the same thing with the masking. That is what we pulled our son from daycare and we were like, he will not be masked.
No.
He's three. He will not. He needs to breathe. He needs germs and he needs to see how people are forming words with their mouth because he's learning speech right now and he's learning emotional whatever. So like if someone's mad at him, he needs to see a face to show that someone's annoyed, someone's mad, you need to change the way you're behaving right now.
Yeah.
So it was just never going to be a thing. So I started researching and yeah, like exactly like you, I think I went down too many rabbit holes and now I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot see myself going back into a government position and sending my kid into a government school, knowing that there are ways that they want the both of us to turn out. And I can see through it, but most, all of my coworkers don't. So that's hard to be around all day too.
Yeah. And it is hard. Like, and I went to school, like university in Toronto, and I ended up just dropping out because I was like, I can't do this. Like it was repetitive, you know, it was like, you're taught how to learn and not really the stuff that is in front of you. Like you're just taught to answer questions and there was no way I could do a job like that, you know? So we had kids young. So basically after that, I went into teacher training for yoga and then eventually I just owned a studio for 2 years, and then I thought, you know, I can't do the out of the real world, if you want to call it. Like, I can't join that, you know?
Yeah, but it's funny because you call it the real world. However, it almost is like the fake world, like the Matrix. And you home with your family, that is the real world. And so it is a little backwards, but but so good for you that you were able to be there with them. I was watching with my son today, I think it was called Planet 2 or something on Netflix. Something quasi-educational because it's all about the animals. And then, of course, they slip in their, like, climate change stuff, which, you know, is a whole other topic. But the information about the animals that they were giving us was, like, so interesting. And I'm like, how did we never learn about any of it? I don't know anything about a bird, a bee, or nothing. You know, they want you to celebrate Pride Month, but they won't tell you about the actual birds and the bees and what they do and why they're pollinating and they're migrating and why they're doing that stuff and all the different species and how long they've been doing it. And I was just like in awe.
They want to teach you about that stuff. They want to teach you about gender ideology or whatever, that sort of thing. No, my kids love being outside and they love to learn those things. So even, I don't think they could ever go to school just based on the fact they love the things that school doesn't teach.
So what kind of style do you do as homeschooling? Because obviously there's the classical, there's Charlotte Mason, there's unschooling, you know, and everything in between. How is your approach and how have you changed it over the couple of years?
It's changed quite a bit. And we're still working on it. Definitely, I don't think it's something that is going to stay the way it is right now. But we're definitely not unschooling. I don't even know what category we're in. I use The Good and the Beautiful for math. So we have sit-down time at the table together. And that's when we learn, you know, reading, writing, math, you know, all those core things. And then we spend time outside and do learning that way. So I don't even know what you would call that. It's definitely not unschooling. I don't know. What would you call that? Like, we're using books.
Freedom is what I would call that.
I don't know. I don't label it as anything, but we sit down and, like, I try to get, you know, 2 hours, and I don't know if that's a lot or not, but around 2 hours of learning time, whether that's, like, at the table and we're actually sitting, writing, like, with our books, or we're outside doing a more like hands-on learning, you know, learning about birds, or we're learning about like grasshoppers or, you know, dirt, whatever it is that day. And I try to use things that they enjoy to work with what we're learning as well.
So do you spend like any time prepping, or like, we're going to do this science experiment this week or this arts and craft this week, or do you just kind of let it flow?
I just kind of let it flow. I spent a lot of time in the beginning trying to prep everything, and I really wanted it to work. Like, I almost wanted it to be forceful to work. You know, I want to do this. I want to cover this. I want to cover this. It doesn't really work that way, because we have, you know, during our weeks, some days we're with our friends, some days we're visiting family, some days we're doing errands. You know, it just doesn't work as a standard learning.
Okay, have you checked out episode 21 with Lindsay, creator of Treehouse Schoolhouse? I asked Lindsay on the show because I fell in love with her Instagram page. She is like the homeschool family I strive to be. Lindsay was homeschooling even before she had kids, homeschooling as a nanny right out of college. Over the years, she has developed super creative ways to help kids learn that can be fun for the whole family. From products like her morning time and daily rhythm and her nature studies to alphabet cards, her Rooted Family Bible curriculum, which is coming out soon, and a connected Christmas, which is right around the corner, hint, hint. And what is a connected Christmas, you ask? Well, it's an invitation to gather your family and celebrate beauty and delight through festive carols, stories, poetry, art, baking, and handcrafts. It's about family, and it's about connecting hearts to the heart of Christmas. From preschool to middle school, there are variations and activities for all ages to celebrate together. Let them know I sent you by using the link treehouseschoolhouse.com/thehomeschoolhowtopodcast, and you can get 10% off all products. You can use the link and code in my show's description.
So, you know, we sort of pick an art a week, you know, there's, and then like a topic, or like, you know, 1 week we did pointillism, where you make art with dots, you know, the end of your pencil, and you like use your paint and you create a picture with dots. So we did that a couple times during the week. You know, I kind of just go with it. You know, I use Pinterest a lot, and and I just honestly, it's mostly focused on what they enjoy, and we kind of go from there. So it's not necessarily like I stay up and plan, but I definitely have stuff in my mind. I'm like, okay, I've seen this, like, this is what they're into today. Okay, let's do this. That's kind of where we're at.
And I think that's where a lot of parents like myself are thinking, oh, I don't know that I could homeschool. Like the kids and their behavior and all that is one thing, but the planning, and I'm not crafty. I know for me, it's like, I don't know, to sit there and get supplies,
yeah,
and then bring them home. Like I did that for preschool, or the year before he went to preschool. I guess it would have been like the 3-year-old year.
Yeah.
Got the supplies. I think the little gonzo beans are still sitting somewhere growing mold. You know, like I try to keep up with it. And then like you said, you're visiting family, you're visiting friends, you're doing errands, things, life gets in the way. So we got a week behind, and then 2 weeks behind. Then I forgot to order the library books that I was supposed to get. And then you're like so behind, and you're just like, I failed and I can't do this. My kid's not learning. I must send them to the government run education system because they're just not going to make it in life with me.
Yeah.
But now I'm trying to concentrate on like people like you saying that no, you can go with what they want to learn. And whether you call it unschooling or not, I don't, you know, I talked to Tasha Fishman a couple weeks back, and she got into how the unschooling is sort of like that. And it's just kind of whatever sparks your interest. And like, so how do you go about researching it? Will you use internet with your kids to say like, okay, well, we found a grasshopper, let's go learn about it on the internet? Or you go, library, what do you do?
Library is a big thing, but honestly, we've kind of avoided it this month. Just mostly, you know, the stuff that's out on the shelves, we've avoided it.
Yeah. So,
it's my friend went, I think the first day of June, maybe the second, and she said there was just books everywhere, like just out, and she just grabbed her kids and just ran. She's also a homeschooler, and she's like, I can't go back this month. I can't do this. So we will go back to the library. I don't know. It might be the end of June already, but
yeah.
We'll go back. So we usually use the library. I don't let the kids on the internet yet. I try to minimize our internet use. Like obviously I will, if I like am scrambling, like, and they ask me a question, I'm like, I don't know what it is. Then I will, like, we'll go on the computer, or I'll go on my phone, and we'll figure it out together. But typically I like to use books instead, or, you know, and there's also lots of worksheets that are free on Pinterest, or I think it's like Teachers Pay or something, Teachers to Teachers, maybe.com. I don't know.
Okay.
But
I can link that in the show notes.
Yeah. I think I can look at it, but yeah. So I use those types of resources, and honestly, some days they're not perfect. You know, like some days, all we get in is my oldest. He sits and he reads for half an hour. That's our school some days, because it's just, we don't have time. And other days it's, you know, we do everything. And I in the beginning I had a hard time. Like I had to get everything accomplished in one day, but it's just not realistic. It's not, especially when I'm at home and I'm making breakfast, I'm making snacks, I'm making lunch, I'm making more snacks, and I'm making dinner. And I'm also trying to keep the house not a disaster. Like, it's just not realistic for us to be on a schedule that is going to make me stressed out, you know? And especially that too. That's not what I want for them. So
do they have any screen time? If you spend a lot of time in the kitchen as a mom, home with your kids.
Yeah.
They are always hungry. How do they occupy their time while you're busy doing something else?
So our screen time only starts at 4 p.m. At night. So that's usually around the time when I start dinner, and then they get, you know, like a movie or something during that time. And sometimes it stays on for the rest of the night until bed. Sometimes it doesn't. But that's typically when that screen time happens. They've gotten pretty good at occupying themselves because we took the TV away. I suppose And I found that when we had it on, like during lunch, when I would make lunch, it was really hard to pull them out of that little like hole. Like I had a hard time getting them back to do something like an activity, an art or outside. Like they didn't want to leave the screen. So I do my best to not and just keep it at the 4 p.m.
So what will you do if you're making lunch? What will they typically do?
So I mean, either they'll be outside playing or they'll go to the playroom and play. We have an area with all their toys and they'll just play together, you know, and that's their free time. And they're pretty good about finding a game or, you know, using their imagination to come up with something to do.
Yeah, because I have, so my son, he's almost 5, and my daughter's almost 1. So it's not like, I mean, they'll play together a little bit, but he's just entertaining her. So it's obviously hard right now. And I find that when you say that, it's so true here. When you put the TV on, it is hard to pull them from it. And the same thing with sugar, because we don't eat a ton of candy here. He very rarely has it. I don't really have candy in the house, but if he's at like a friend's house or a cousin's house where there is candy, or he gets it from a birthday party, it is mom can I have candy, mom can I have candy, mom can I have candy all the time. But he never asked for it before, even though, you know, he might have had a piece here and a piece a few weeks later. But it was like once he had the access to it, it was just like all day long, can I have it, can I have it, can I have it? Which is so funny when you think about like the addictive tendencies from TV, sugar, and anything. It goes to coffee, alcohol, everything. But how quickly and easily we get entranced in that.
It's wild, and we don't have a lot of sugar in our house either. You know, like we use the natural sugars like honey and maple syrup, like real maple syrup, but we don't keep junk in the house. And it's wild. We can see the sugar crash, you know. You give them like even a popsicle and then they have a sugar high and then it's a sugar crash. So we really work on not doing that. And what's interesting is I know some friends that have kids in school and they have fed their kid, like the kids in school, a lot of junk. Like they send their kids home with junk, like bags of like candy and bags of whatever, which is like
At school.
at school. So you're getting these kids all hyped up to, it's just, I don't know, getting them
To
hyped up
sit at
to
a desk, yeah.
learn and then now you're having all these kids that are acting out and then you're getting them in trouble. It's just it's like their fault. It's like not the kid, but oh my goodness. Yeah. So no, we don't do.
And now I'm glad you said that because when you said earlier, how could we ever homeschool? It's so, you know, it's so hard to contain my son. And, you know, and I kids aren't supposed to be contained at that age. That's the thing.
No, they're not. Even at grade one, they're not supposed to be sitting. I don't even know. Do you sit all day in grade one? It's been so long since I've been in school. But even still, like they're not meant to do that. Even at grade two, grade three, like you're not. You have way too much energy. Way too much.
So how do you contain or not contain, but that's not what I was. How do you manage two boys? They're both the age that they have a ton of energy. How do you do it? What do you do when they just drive you nuts?
I don't know. You know what? We spend a lot of time outside. That's what we do. I make them be outside a lot, and that they will just go and they'll play and they'll leave me alone. And sometimes there are arguments, and sometimes it's so hard. I find it really difficult to be at home with them because, you know, there are days where they're just at each other's throat or just nonstop at me for whatever snacks, like toys or, you know, endless amounts of requests. But yeah, outside for us is a big thing. And I don't take as much time for myself as I should, which I think I need to, you know. I think that is a key that I can contain them, not contain them, but manage them better during the day is to step away. Like tonight is really nice. You know, I'm stepping away and
Maybe you need to pick up a yoga gig again.
I know.
Just once or twice a week. Just one or two evenings a week when your husband's home.
Maybe that would be something to calm me down. And you know what? I do. I do yoga at home and I do work out. And I think that really helps. You know, I have that like, whatever, half an hour to myself. I mean, but they're still there. They're doing their thing. And but yeah, I need something even to leave for a minute.
Yeah, I had a post that I put a couple weeks ago about how when I tell people that I want to homeschool, a common reaction is, oh, I could never spend that much time with my kids. They would drive me crazy. And my response is kind of like, well, don't create people that drive other people crazy. Like, and there's two things with that. So if, yes, your kid is going to annoy you, it's just how it is, but it is a work in progress. We have to tell them and show them that is not a good behavior to have. And do you want to annoy people? Because if you do, they won't want to be around you. And, you know, you won't get as far in life if that's how you're acting and treating others. So, of course, kids are going to annoy us. But yes, what are you feeding them? Are they getting enough water? Are they getting enough sleep? Are they getting enough exercise? That's going to help a lot. And then are you correcting the behavior when it happens? Because they're going to keep doing it if you don't correct it. And then the second part of that is, so if my son annoys me, I love him. I'm his mother and I get annoyed. I'm going to now send him into a room with 30 kids that are also annoying this stranger. I mean, how are they going to treat him? I mean, you hope that they treat them well, but they're only people. If we get annoyed by our own flesh and blood, these poor teachers that are underpaid and under-resourced, yeah, they're going to say something or do something or not do something when two kids are annoying each other, you know? And it's like you're kind of sending your kid into like a pack of wolves. It feels like that at sometimes, at least.
Well, yeah. And also like they're all the same age too, right? So that I feel like in itself is a big problem when you're in a room full of kids that are all the same age, that are all at the same stage of life, trying to figure it all out. And now you have all these people annoying each other and but have no guidance to, like you said, know that they shouldn't be like that, or they shouldn't want to be annoying, you know? And I don't ever feel like I want to spend more time with my kids. Like, I don't want, like, their childhood is so small. Like, I had this feeling the other day and it made me really upset to the point where I wanted to cry. But it's like my son is 7 and he'll be 8 in March. And it's like that 8 years has gone by insane, like so fast. And then, you know, now he'll be in like a preteen, you know, and it's like I want to be there. I want to see all those moments and, you know, good, bad, ugly, whatever. I'd like to see them and, you know, help them through those moments. I don't want to be the mom who just sends their kid away to somebody else to deal with them. Like, I want to be there. And I feel like homeschooling is like that thing where you get to see your kid grow up. And I don't think a lot of people ever got to see that. Like, I know my parents never saw as much as I did. I have so far.
Right.
So I think it's like beautiful.
Same thing. Here. Yeah. And it's sad because we're just taught to think through society and media, social media, or, you know, anything on TV, that's the right thing to do, to send them off.
Yeah.
Like that. But even watching that show, the Planet show on Netflix today, the walrus stayed with his mother for 3 whole years. So if a walrus knows to stay with her child for 3 years, how is it that at 6 or 8 weeks, we're supposed to shuffle them off to a daycare and let somebody else see them for the majority of their waking hours? It's crazy. And people think I'm crazy for wanting to homeschool. I mean, they'll still say to me like, well, I don't know what you're going to do about socialization. And I'm like, but did you see during COVID, they had masks and plexiglass and shields and hula hoops they had to stay in, and they were shaking elbows. That's not socialization. And if I send my kids somewhere to learn, I don't expect them to, like, it's not like they're saying, oh, come to our school. We're great with socialization. It's no, we have great academics. You send your kid to school for academics. So why are people so concerned about the socialization when we have people are everywhere? You can go outside and find people anywhere. And the internet and all the Facebook groups and Instagram and all that stuff, like, you can literally go anywhere.
Yeah, you can. And honestly, I don't really think that socialization is what they're doing. You're putting, like I said, a whole bunch of the same age kids in one room. Never in your life, ever, will you be in that situation where you have, all, like, none of your coworkers will all be the same age as you. None, like, nobody's going to ever be the same age as you. You need to learn to deal with different age groups. And my kids are probably way better at doing that and being around people than these kids at school. I mean, not to brag, but you know what I mean? Like, I think that they have a better at socialization than, you know, like a kid that is in a school with the same age. I don't know.
Yeah. Saying, like, you know, you only speak when you can raise your hand and I tell you it's okay and that sort of thing. Yeah. That's not going to teach them socialization. And then you look at kind of what's going on in the world and the families, and there's just a lot going on. Who are you sending them to school with that you want so badly for them to socialize with?
Yeah,
right? Like, yeah, at least in a play group, or, you know, you can kind of be like, all right, well, this is kind of what I want my child molded into, the values I want to instill in them. So you can kind of pick that, or say it was like a Bible study group and you put them in to socialize. At least you know that, like, it's the same kind of beliefs and values.
Yeah.
Or even like a ballet class. It's okay, well, maybe a little socialization there. Although, I don't know, you're there to learn too. But sports and stuff, it's a, you know, kind of just more similarities than, oh, you all just happen to own a house in the same area, so therefore you're going to spend 40 hours a week together.
Yeah. it's not a lot. All. Yeah. And like, yeah, my kids are in, well, they went into soccer and we have groups of friends that they see, and I don't trust a lot of people, honestly, to be around my kids. Like, I want them to be around good people. And it's interesting that you talk about, like, you can pick and choose the same values. But it's interesting because, you know, at school, they have bullies, right? And we were faced with a family of homeschoolers, and the kids, my kids and her kids, just didn't get along. Like, they just couldn't, whatever it was. Like, my oldest son, he is not physical at all, but my kid punched this other little boy. And I was like, this is not okay. We're not okay.
We just got done reading The Tuttle Twins and The Fate of the Future, book number 9 in the Tuttle Twins series for ages 5 through 11. What I love about these books is how it relates back to real life every time. The Fate of the Future has a fun story centered around the book The Anatomy of the State by Murray Rothbard. And even though it's a kid's book, I'm learning right along with my kids. The story in Fate of the Future centers around the importance of competition among businesses and how detrimental monopolies can be. We even related it back to our recent vacation to Maine and how we went out for ice cream to 3 different places. And because we had options, the ice cream parlors had to compete for our business by either lowering their prices or increasing their quality. Every time I read a Tuttle Twins book to my kids, it sparks the best conversations, and I always end up feeling like, wow, I didn't realize my son could actually grasp concepts like that. If you didn't catch my interview with Tuttle Twins author Connor Boyack in episode 24, you definitely want to go back and check that out. And if you'd like to get the Tuttle Twins books for yourself or someone else, please go to my link so they know I sent you, thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle, and use code Cheryl40 to get 40% off ages 5 through 11 series plus more. You can use the link and code in my show's description.
And a lot of it, I thought, okay, well, they would deal with that in school. Like, they'd have to deal with kids they don't like. And then I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're at home. We don't need to deal with, at this age, bullies. We don't need to deal with having someone you don't like in your life. Like, we get the power, or we have the, you know, whatever. I have the responsibility of showing you kids that are going to be kind to you and show you how to be kind back, you know? And so bullying is a big thing too, of why I probably would never send my kid to school, because there's so many kids that are affected by bullying. in that one instance, they threw me off.
It's hard because you want them exposed to things that are uncomfortable so that they can learn how to deal with the situation. But again, that that might be an age appropriate thing at 7 years old. I don't know. But I mean, it's hard. And this is why parenting doesn't come with like a, although I bet you the government's working on an instruction booklet for us. Yeah. I guess that's called school. But we'll just take over for you. Send them here. Yeah. It's interesting because I feel the same way. Like my son should be going into kindergarten in September. And when I was 5, kindergarten was a half a day and now it's a full day. And like what happened in that 35 years that they determined kindergarten must be full day? I mean, clearly it's that women are now more in the workforce and they needed full day childcare, but it doesn't work for every kid. So they're at these ages and you're just trusting that someone else is going to watch the bullying happen and have enough time to go make sure every child is safe. Because I've talked to people who are like, no, my kid was actually stabbed with a pencil and needed surgery because there was like the lead from the pencil still stuck in them. And then you get into the even more with the school shootings and stuff like that. And even if there's not a school shooting there, the trauma that goes behind doing these shelter in place drills, I'm not a fan of doing that to them and also making them think that their neighbor or partner in class could turn against them and just shoot them one day either. There's a lot.
That's like a fear-based thing. Like, I don't want my kid to feel like everybody we meet is like out to get them. Like, that's not okay. Or even with like with the masks, like I don't want them to think that the air is not safe to breathe.
Yes.
And so the bullying thing, and I have no idea if like I'm right or wrong, but I don't think they need to be at this age. I mean, for sure not my 4-year-old, but I just don't know that at this age we need to learn those lessons. Like they're working on the other things that are more important, I think. I don't know. I have no idea though. I think
it's what makes you comfortable, you know? And I love that. Yeah. Back to when the principal told you that you have to learn to let go of your children. It's like, I mean, just think about that. And that is probably more commonly said. I remember my niece having a hard time when my sister was dropping her off, and my sister was a stay-at-home mom, but it was just like, you send your kids to school. That's what you do as a good parent. You know, you send them off and they learn and they make friends and then they come back socially adjusted.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, there weren't people waking up back then as there are now. I mean, my niece is 20 years old now, and I think even she went into the military, and you know, that I was like gritting my teeth like, please don't, but you want to support them, and you know, but it's hard because even when your kids are older, like, you know, you're supposed to encourage them to go to university. And what is your goal for your boys when they graduate?
I want them to do something that they love, I want them to have all the tools that they need to do something that they love. Like, I will support them if that's what they want to do, is go to college. You know, I don't think I will not push university. I think university is a really big waste of time and money. But you know, I mean, I guess maybe depending if you want to be a doctor, I don't know. But I think that I just want them to have the tools to do what they want, you know. And I'm not going to stand in their way if they want to go to high school or if they want to go to college. But I think there's a lot of conversations that we have to have before that. Like, I think they need to be really comfortable in who they are.
As they get older, there is so many more resources too that open up, apprenticeships, to, you know, things like that. I think the world will look different when our kids are a little, you know, teenagers.
Yeah. And I hope that it will be, I feel right now that we are at this like cusp of homeschooling being like a big thing. You know, all these people are really starting to do it, but also that it's kind of shunned a little bit, or we're like the black sheep of the world in a way. So I hope that that changes too, you know, as they get older, that it's I don't want to say more accepted, because I really don't care, but I think I want them to feel
like they had all the same experiences as, you know, the traditional route.
Yeah, exactly. And because I mean, I don't think I'm taking anything away from them, but I know that their school is totally different from my school. Like, I'm proud of that. But,
you know, I think as long, like, we can put on ourselves, we want to have 2 hours a day of, you know, learning, or I'm going to be the classical or the unschooler and that sort of thing. And I did try to say to myself today, I was like, you know what? My kids are safe. They're fed, they're comfortable at home. You know, they don't have to fear like they're going to get hurt or scared to be here or anything. And that's, I do think that's half the battle. So many kids don't even have just that, the basic necessities. And not to say like, oh, okay, then you can just be laxed on your homeschooling and like have, you know, but, you know, sit them in front of the TV all day. Yeah. But when we put so much pressure on ourselves, like, oh my God, I wanted to follow this curriculum and I'm already a week behind and then a month behind and now we got to catch up, or I don't feel, you know, my OCD is not letting me feel like we completed this because we skipped page 18. It's like, are your kids fed? Are they safe? Do they have a place to sleep? Are they comfortable? Yeah. Are you feeding them right? And like you were mentioning earlier with cooking dinner for them, you know, and I, again, society and the media and all that had that whole thing where like being the housewife and like just, oh, she's in the kitchen all day is like a bad connotation. But like, I'm in the kitchen to make sure my kids have food that's not full of sugar, which is going to, you know, spike their sugar, cause cancer one day. You know, I'm making sure they have nutritious meals so that they can learn, they can exercise, they can sleep well, and then they hopefully won't have any terrible diseases when they're older. And like, it's just so, again, backwards that being a house, whatever, is like something to look down on. And I look down on it too. I remember always thinking like, well, what the heck is, you know, a stay-at-home mom going to do? So like, what are you producing for society? Well, it turns out a whole lot.
Well, yeah.
And you don't get your 15-minute breaks or your half-hour lunch.
No, you don't. But, and like, the thing is too, it's like, I get that some days and I'm like, well, my husband's out working and I'm at home and I'm in my PJs, I'm having my coffee and I'm making meals and it doesn't feel like I'm contributing enough. And that's just like me being programmed as.
Yes.
Right. And so I feel this like guilt of I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. And, but really I am. And I have to always remind myself that, and it's a daily struggle for me. Like I don't know how to get rid of it, but I think it's just ingrained into me through however many years.
It is. And you know what? I hope this helps you and other moms out there. And so that is how like I felt all over the years. You know, I graduated college and when I was 23 years old, took a state exam, got into the state, worked my way up and got to a pretty decent level for like the age I'm at now. And I look back at the last 15 years spent in a cubicle and it is the same mundane stuff. And not to say that some jobs in government aren't productive or do good. I'm sure some do. Just happened to be that in the four agencies I worked in, it didn't matter if I was there or not. Like, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't changing anyone's life for the better. The work got done whether I was there or not. If the work needed to be done in the first place. Is it just pushing papers around, you know, like, yeah. Because that's a lot of what it felt like. Okay, now I'll take the paper and pass it there. And then they take it and pass it there. And then they take it. Like nothing really gets done. I feel like there's a good analogy for this. I don't know, like putting a mouse in a mousetrap and telling them to get the cheese. And then you're really just moving the cheese around. And then at the end of the day, they're like, we printed 80 million more cheeses and none of the cheese was ever natural or good for you. And it's all going to give you cancer and it's not worth anything anyways. Is that a good analogy of the last 15 years of my life? Because now I'm at home and it is so draining and I'm so like, ah, but I know that I'm making a difference because I'm making people who are going to be like a good influence on society or a pleasure to be around someday. I mean, they're a pleasure to be around now. People like them. I like them pretty much too. Yeah. But, but it's like that's actually doing something, but we're so programmed that we're not. And like putting healthy food in our family's bodies is so important. And it does take time and effort, and it's annoying. And then you get the cleanup and the shopping for it. But it is the most important thing, because if everybody's got cancer from eating McDonald's every day or heart disease or whatever, like where's society then? It falls.
It's non-existent. Yeah. And it was funny, my friend the other day, her kids are in, I think it's a Montessori school. Is that, I don't know. Is that how you say it? Yeah. But her eldest stepdaughter was like, your house is disgusting. Like, my mom would never have this house like this. And my friend was like, well, honestly, we take time to be with you. We want to provide the healthiest food for you. We want to support you and be there. Like, that is the least of our worries. Like, we're not worried about our house right now. We're worried about feeding you healthy food, keeping you healthy, keeping you safe, and keeping you loved. And I was like, that is the best, that's the best way to put it. Like, I, you know, and it stuck with me like a lot, because I try every day to keep my house, you know, like to the point where I could have visitors over and it's not a disaster. But then I also have to remind myself, like, I'm doing all these other things that are not for other people. They're for my kids. Like, my focus is my kids, not my visitors.
Yeah. And I mean, how healthy is it if, like, your baby's crawling around on a Cloroxed floor all the time? Like, okay, maybe they're not eating dirt, but they're licking Clorox. Like, yeah. Come on. And then just keeping people alive all day. Like, that's a really draining, mentally draining job.
It is. Like, and especially, like, I find little boys. You said you had a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. And I find like really emotional at a young age. They have like big emotions, and it's a lot sometimes, you know, to just handle that in itself.
Yeah, my kid is so sarcastic and like just knows how to like pick at me. I'll go, you're exactly how I was. I wanted a boy because I didn't want a child that was like me. It didn't matter.
But that's fun though. That'll be fun. You can, you know, work off of each other.
Yeah, I hope we're gonna have laughs. Like today I was like, look, there's a deer over there. I'm pointing to the window. Look, do you see the deer over there, Colin? You see the deer? And he goes, yeah, I see the deer. Why are you still pointing? I'm looking at it. I'm like, what are you for? Where do you get this attitude? So we booked this a while ago. So you had time to think over the last few months or weeks about this talk. Was there anything you had in your mind that you're like, I want to make sure we talk about this?
I pretty well like covered it all. I really wanted to talk about that principle. He really, to this day, he still got me.
That gets me.
Yeah, right? Like, and I mean, obviously I would... if I dropped him off, I would be upset, you know, I'd cry probably, like, you're leaving your kid. But that was not the intention. That was not the reasoning behind us, like, concerned about masks and concerned about what they're learning. You know, we just want to be involved and know that they're learning appropriate things for their age, right?
Right. Like, yeah. And not with an agenda behind it. I have seen some documentaries and stuff, you've probably seen all the same ones, but where they talked about how China, when they turned communist, like to do that, they worked in a genderless society. And, you know, I'd like to research that more. But basically, when you take away gender, you're taking away attraction for one another, right? Like, if I can't tell what you are, like, it's hard to be like, oh, I really want to romance you tonight. You know what I mean? So you're kind of taking away this attraction with each other. And then when that's gone, you're no longer creating a family unit. You're not creating a strong family bond. You're not creating the love of a child. You know, you're just kind of empty. So what do you do when you're empty? You look to the government to provide you the answers or your purpose for living. The government can provide that. And when the government is able to provide that, they're easily able to usher in a communist society, or whether you want to call it socialist or whatever, where you will do what they say because they are now your purpose, not your family unit.
Yeah.
Not your family. So that made a lot of sense to me. And I think that is where I started on this journey back in 2020. It was like, I was all for the like, oh my God, let's watch CNN and, you know, stand 6 feet apart from our in-laws. But quickly, when doctors were like, hey, I'm giving out this drug and it has saved every single patient. Oh, wait, Facebook just shut that down. Excuse me? Mark Zuckerberg, who created, you know, a social media account because he couldn't get laid in college. We're trusting him to be the gatekeeper of life-saving information.
Yeah.
Are you people for real?
Yeah.
So, and then from there, it's just been like, if it doesn't logically make sense, it's probably for, you know, a different purpose than what they are showing. And it is just so crazy how many people just have blinders up to it. And I was not like an intelligent person in school, but to me, it's like crystal clear. Okay, well, does this make sense? No, then what's the real reason?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, why can't people just do that?
And to what you were saying about that family unit, I find that more and more, like, I think we need to go back to like the day where, you know, you have your ma and your pa and you have your kids and then your mom stays home and your dad goes out and hunts and does all that. Like, I'm thinking like Little House on the Prairie. Is that a little a kid's book? Yeah.
I'm ready. Bring it.
Right. I need back to that. Like, we need that. We need that kind of thing. We need to learn how to forage. We need to learn all these things from the land. Like, there's so many medicines in the forest that we can use, but instead we're not preventative medicine. We are just the aftermath. We're like, I have these symptoms. Okay, here's some pills. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I think we need to go back to those forest days where we're in the woods barefoot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from things I've seen, I think there will be almost like two worlds going on, like the city world and then the foragers. And hopefully we can all be peaceful living that way. I always used to think that I would be the one living in the city, like on Wall-E, like up on the spaceship there. But now I'd much rather be here.
Yeah, me too. I'm right there with you.
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for being here today. I could talk to you forever, but it's been an hour, so this is going to take a while to edit, I'm sure. No. I got to keep it around an hour, but it has been such a pleasure. And hopefully I will be able to have you back on once we're, you know, a couple more years in with our kids and see how the homeschooling journey is going.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.